I want to read just two verses of Scripture from Acts chapter 22, and I'm going to move forward with those words that we've been talking about lately. I'm going to read Acts 22, verses 21 and 22, so that you get an idea of where I'm coming from if you were not here last Sunday a week ago. Then he said to me, that is, Christ is speaking to Paul, then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. And the people said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. What's happening there in Scripture is that Paul is defending his position and defending the position that God had called him to, and that was he was to go to the Gentiles. He had been speaking to the Jewish people in review right quick, and they had been received him and were listening to the things that he had to say, but then he used that word Gentile, and the Scripture says, well, at that point, they were with him. Up to that point, they were amen and hallelujah. Up to that point, they were applauding, but he used the word Gentile. And when he used that word Gentile, it immediately slammed the doors of their hearts shut. It closed their ears. And they could hear nothing else. As I studied through Acts several years ago, getting ready to preach this series that I've now been preaching for nearly 6 years, some of you go, well, you probably can't preach from another book. If you'll stick around another 3 or 4 years, I'm going to show you I can. I think I'll be finished with Acts by then. But as I was studying for this, I came to this verse of Scripture, and that word just really jumped out to me, that when Paul mentioned the word Gentile, it changed the whole picture. In fact, those that were seemingly on his side, those that were seemingly supporting him up till that point, turned on him immediately. So I thought to myself as I was studying through this, and I told you 2 weeks ago, because the Urbans were here last week, I told you 2 weeks ago that I sweated bullets over these sermons that I'm preaching now. It's kind of a parenthetical series within a series. And I want to talk about those words. Last week, I said, preacher, you got to go back over that. It won't take me a second. Last week, or time before, I talked about alcohol. It's about as quiet as it is in here now. And then I talked about homosexuality, and it got arousing, amens. I don't know the deal, but. So I talked about those two words and how sometimes that's all it takes. I mean, you could mention that or any of those two words, and all of a sudden, you lose your congregation. You lose the attention of people. So I want to continue today talking about those words. And I pose the question, what is your word? What one word has to be spoken that makes you just turn and go the other direction? What one word kind of, in country boy terminology, it sticks in your craw? You know what a craw is? It's a gizzard. We don't have one, thank God. But what sticks there? What just makes you turn, go the opposite direction? I pose that question. What one word can you not get past? There's one word that somebody can say in conversation. There's one word a preacher can say, and you just shut it down. You don't want to hear any more about it. I got a word for you today for the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. For a lot of people that I've talked to in my life, in ministry over these last nearly 50 years, one word that slams the door shut of the heart and closes their ears up and they can't hear is that word forgiveness. And the truth about forgiveness is there's probably more people, maybe even in this congregation here today, God bless you, thank you for coming. There's more people that I run into that are stranded in that desert of forgiveness. It's one of two things. They're worried about that they can't forgive themselves for something. And if they can't forgive themselves, they don't understand how God could forgive them. Or, and I'm going to be real honest with you, this is in my life today. I'm going to move this Bible because I'm going to step on it, sure as the world. It's in my life today. There are people that I can leave this pulpit right now and go to them and say, listen, we got to get some things right. You got folks like that? You say, well, preacher, tell us about it. No, the details wouldn't matter. But sometimes we have trouble forgiving those that offend us. So we're going to talk about that word forgiveness. Some people just can't get past that word forgiveness. Can't forget themselves, can't forgive someone else. Some think that it's just vital that God forgives them, but then they don't forgive others. So there's one verse that just comes to my mind, and to be perfectly honest with you, from time to time in my life, it kind of haunts me. when I think about forgiveness. And it's a passage of Scripture. It's two verses of Scripture that come in Matthew chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. And it's verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive, Matthew 6, 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father, God, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, this is Jesus speaking, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, if you really want to get stirred up, don't do it now. Matthew chapter 18, don't turn there now. Read it on your own. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus goes even a little deeper in that. That's where he talks about how many times we're supposed to forgive each other. And it's amazing that number that talks that Jesus speaks of when he talks about you and I forgiving folks. There's no doubt in my mind, there's no doubt when I read these two verses of Scripture from Matthew chapter 6, and I think about that one word that stops so many people dead in their tracks, I think about that word forgiveness, and when I read these verses of Matthew 6, 14, and 15, it's clear to me that Jesus Christ himself is challenging us as followers to get involved in this process of forgiveness. Forgiving someone who's offended you, realizing that God has forgiven you, that is what forgiveness looks like. Here's something I've discovered. Probably everybody in this building could quote, without fail, the scripture passages in Matthew just before verses 14 and 15. It's the Lord's Prayer. You remember those words? I'm going to read to you from the New King James. In this manner, therefore, pray, Jesus said. These words are in red. See them? And that means Jesus spoke those words. We believe that. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts and as we forgive our debtors, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those trespasses against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And because of that word amen, that's where we stop. But if you read verses 14 and 15, Jesus is still speaking. And here's what I think. I think that Jesus Christ himself is giving us commentary on what he's just said in that which we call the model prayer. We tend to overlook those next two verses that are the Lord's commentary on the words that he spoke. And a commentary means that now we're going to learn something from the author. Now it means we're going to learn something from that one that has reviewed. Jesus spoke these words and then gives that commentary in verses 14 and 15. It's because we want to be forgiven, right? Anybody in here don't want to be forgiven? I thought so. We want to be forgiven. However, most of us are slow to forgive. I am. Well, we may need a new preacher. We all got to go with me. I'm slow to forgive sometimes. It takes a while to get over things. I know some folks ain't got over nothing in their life. I know people are plumb historical when they get mad. They just can tell you everything that ever happened bad in their life. I get that way sometimes. Don't ask my wife about it, but I get like that sometimes. But I wonder how many of us in this building are kind of slow to forgive folks. Most of us understand and cling to the value of forgiveness for our trespasses. I want to be forgiven for my failures. God, I want you to clean me up. I want you to make me right. Forgive me of my sins. Boy, I pray that. Interject in the middle of prayers every time I pray, God, forgive me for my sin. And I've even gotten the habit of saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't even know them all, but you do. You ever done that? So forgive me. I want to be forgiven. We cling to the value of forgiveness. I want to ask you to listen to another couple of verses of Scripture. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. So what does that have to do with anything? When I come before God and say to him, God, I am a sinner, I came to him one time and said, I'm a lost sinner, save me, and he did. So now I go to him and say, Lord, I'm a saved sinner. There's only kind of two kinds of people in this building, right? Lost sinners and saved sinners. Every one of us are sinners, and we're going to keep sinning until Jesus comes. I wish I could tell you that I will never sin again. The truth is, I have sinned since I've been in this pulpit. I don't know what it was, Lord, whatever it was, forgive me. We're interested in forgiveness, and the Bible here says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that in order to be forgiven, I'd get out on my knees, but I can't get up real good. I got to get down before God. I've got to humble myself in his presence and ask him to forgive me. And that is his desire. That is the desire of God to forgive me. And I love what 1 Peter 5 says. I am to cast all my cares, give everything that's in me to the Lord. He'll sift that out and give me back what I need. You use a sifter at the house? I every once in a while decide that I can be a cook, and my wife reminds me that I used to be a cook. Well, really, I wasn't a cook. I had a bunch of people cook for me. I was in prison. I was working there. I was in prison, and we had a recipe for donuts. And one time I told Vic, I said, I'm going to make some of those donuts at the house. I got some knocking around, and there wasn't nearly enough flour in our house to make that recipe that I had. I needed like 175 pounds of flour, right? And a couple hundred pounds of sugar and all this kind of stuff to make this. And then I came to that astounding thing that it needed to be sifted. Why do you sift something? I mean, my goodness, it comes out of a clean bag, right? Well, you get these little lumps, and they'll mess you up. Well, I didn't sift, and sure enough, the lumps will mess you up. I think too often we want to go before God and kind of sift out some things. No. The Bible says here in 1 Peter, as we find throughout the New Testament, that it's important that we humble ourselves in the presence of God and we cast all of our cares. We cast all of our difficulties at his feet. I strongly believe with all my heart that one of the biggest hindering factors of forgiveness in the lives of people, okay? One of the biggest factors in forgiveness in the lives of people is kind of wrapped up in one thought in this little country mind of mine, and that's this. We can't get past ourselves, so we don't think God can either. We can't get past who we are. We know us, but friend, let me tell you something. God knows you better. See, the reason God knows me better is he knows the next minute. I have no idea about it. I went to the hospital for a little procedure the other day. Praise the Lord. It was good. I went for a little procedure the other day. While I was there, the attending physician who was behind me, and he said to me, there's only one problem that you have. I said, what's that? I'm expecting something big. He said, well, it is something big. It's your belly. I still hadn't forgiven him yet. I'll get to it maybe, but not right now. Let me tell you something. We can't get past who we are sometimes. And because we can't get past who we are and the things that we know about ourselves, we don't think God can. God knows us, and the truth is he is waiting for us to cast all of our cares at his feet. So whatever you got in your life that's got you hung up, whatever stuck in your craw, if your word is forgiveness and it's got you hung up, I'm just to encourage you to fall before God and just let him have that care. He takes care of it. God loves you, and that's what matters. He loves you beyond any imagination that you might have. No matter how despondent we get, or no matter how distant you be, there may be people in this building today that are very despondent when it comes to their relationship with the Lord. There may be, and I suspect there's more than we think. There may be people in this building that are a bit despondent in their relationship with Christ. In fact, there are some that are very distant in their relationship with Jesus in this very building, let alone in our city, in our county, our state, in our world. There are people in this very building that are very distant and despondent because of that distance that you feel. Listen, I want you to know God loves you and wants you to come to him, and you can come to him with one access word, forgiveness. God, forgive me, and that's all it takes. And here's the neat thing. God doesn't form a committee to decide if we're going to. There's no jury in heaven. God is the judge. There's nobody in heaven that's going to get together and say, well, should we forgive Reagan or not? No, God does. The minute I say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned against you, it's a done deal. We got to get past who we are. No matter where you are in your relationship, God loves you. And he wants you to come and cast all your cares. And listen, when you do that, when you cast all your cares upon him and allow him to do what he does, there's a verse of scripture that comes to my mind, 2 Corinthians 5:17. When I was first saved, I was saved and in the same breath God called me to preach. Somebody said, well, you ain't there yet, but I'm trying. God called me to preach in the same breath that he saved me. And I thought, well, you know what? If I'm going to be a preacher, and especially if I'm going to be a Baptist preacher, I guess I better learn something about the Baptist church. But more than that, I thought, you know, I got to learn some scripture. So I went out and I brought me a system called the Navigator system. You carry little cards around your pocket. Now you can do it online, but you carry little cards around your pocket and every throughout the day you look at this verse of scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17 was one of those verses that I learned first. And you know the verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, Eureka, all things become new. Can I be real honest with you? Different times I looked at that verse and I thought, man, there's some things in my life that are not new. There's some things in my life that just don't look new. And I discover this. The things that don't look new and feel new after I came to Jesus are those things that I'm holding on to, refusing to let go of. And I'm amazed that when you let go of those things, when you genuinely humble yourself in the presence of God and let go of those things in that relationship that you have with Christ, those old things change. It is probably no problem for you. I dipped skull for the longest. Now, I know that some of y'all are kind of sensitive about that. If you quit wallowing around that round can, you'll be all right. I just was convicted about that. I'm not telling you I think you're going to go to hell if you dip snuff. I don't know what you're going to do when you get to heaven. There ain't going to be none. I shouldn't go there. I dipped that snuff for a long, long time. And I thought, well, this is okay. And then I told my wife I quit. And I had a white pickup. I'd go down the road in Richards, Texas, pastoring the church, mind you. And as I drove down the road, I would spit out the window and I'd get home and she'd say, you dipping that stuff? I said, no, I quit. The evidence was all down the side of my truck. When God says get rid of something, get rid of it. And when you let go of those, cast your cares at the feet of God, when you cast your cares upon the Lord, it's amazing what can happen in your life. I want you to know that the day I conquered this snuff deal, you say, well, preacher, I don't know your word. That's okay. Maybe God hasn't convicted you. I'm praying that he will. But listen, when I quit that, it's amazing what God began to do. And you know what I've discovered in my life? Anytime I find one of those strongholds in my life that I'm holding on to, refusing to let go of, when I let those things go, it's amazing what God can show me. It's things almost as though God had wanted to tell me all along, hadn't been able to because I had my mind on something else. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. Listen, when you cast all your cares at the feet of God, that scripture becomes reality. You understand it like you've never understood it before. In relationship with Jesus Christ, you can leave anything behind. Anything, doesn't matter. In relationship with him, all things are made new when you turn loose to the old things that are in your life. The old problems, the old things in your life are erased and covered by the precious blood of Jesus. Consider Psalm 103. Now, I know I've got a lot of scripture here, but just stay with me. Consider Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. To that, I want to say a resounding praise the Lord. Amen. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we are not slow to anger? Some of us got a hot temper. I know some of you. I've seen it. Some of y'all are sitting on your hands right now because you don't raise your hand because you're scared I'm going to ask you, and I'm not. Thank God he doesn't have a temper. Thank God that the scripture tells me that no matter who I am, and listen, no matter how many times I've gone and said, God, I want to get rid of this and pick it up and take it back with me. It doesn't matter. The Bible tells me he is merciful and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us. Listen now. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Amen. He hasn't dealt with me. He hasn't dealt with you according to our iniquities and punished us for our sin. Whew. I'm 69 years old, heading around the curve to 70. Thank God he didn't punish me for my iniquities. I wouldn't be able to stand here today had he done that. He, the Bible says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. If I go to God and say, God, I got a problem with forgiveness. I just can't get past it, God, and I need your help with it. When I go to God with that, he takes that. And here's the encouraging thing, friend. I almost want to poll the audience, but I'm not. How many of us in this very place, you don't have to raise your hand, sit on them. Y'all don't need to see your hand. How many of us in this very building today, was if push come to shove, we got to admit that we think, you know, I'm probably so far out there, God don't want to do me. Ever been there? I live in Houston, Texas, and I'll assure you, smoking that left-handed stuff and drinking, and I don't give glory to that. And I figured at one time God was done with me. I love a song. You know who Zach Williams is? Well, I love Zach Williams' songs. He's so real. I love one of his songs. He says, if anybody, he's talking to the Lord now. And I mean, this resonates in my heart. If anybody had a reason to turn around and walk away, it was you. Man, when I called out to Jesus, he had every right in the world to say, you know what? No. No, I'm not. We've been down that road before, Reagan, and I'm not going down that road again. If anybody had a reason to walk away, the words of that song say it was you. Nobody would have blamed you if you'd have dusted off your hands and said, I'm through. When everybody else was leaving, you could have packed your bags and headed out of town too. Oh, but you kept coming for me because you knew that love is a battleground. There's a battleground in your life where Jesus loves you and Satan wants you. And he'll combat against you and the love of the Lord. But you never get to a place, my friend, no matter where you are, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter how unforgiven you think you are and how you believe that you can't be forgiven, if you go to the Lord, I promise you he's not going to turn his back on you. He will hear you and respond to you when you call out to him. You can't get so far away from God that you can't get home. You can't get that far. Vicki and I were up in Colorado one year, and what time is it? Well, it's 10:30. That's great. Vicki and I were in Colorado one year, and we were driving a Jeep up in the mountains, and we were going on this road that would take us from Colorado into the neighboring state. And as we drove along that road, nobody told me there were no signs. Nobody told me the road bifurcated and split in several places. And we were just guessing as best we could. And we'd come to a turn and we'd say, well, we go this way or that way. We had no way of knowing. I wish I could tell you that we just stopped right there and prayed. We didn't. We just ventured off. And miraculously, by the hand of God, we got to that next state. And we got a hamburger when we got there. God is willing to take you anywhere. The Bible tells us that he won't put up with us forever. But thank God he's still into putting up with us business today. So if there's in your heart something you need to ask God to forgive you for, I submit to you, it's now. He will deal with you until the last sunrise and the last sunset. He will deal with you until you take the last breath in your body. He will stay with you throughout your life. But friends, there is no promise for tomorrow. So there's no time like right now. You say, well, that's a good place to stop. No, I can't. Don't forget that thought, though. Right now is what you have. Come to Jesus, be forgiven, and you'll find strength and change as you are forgiven by him. You'll find strength to forgive those who trespassed against you. So let me slow up for just a minute. Brother Cliff, I know in seminary they'd have got me about this outline. Let me slow up a second. Let me back up just a bit. I'm not going to preach the sermon to you again because I couldn't. But I want to slow up a minute. Let's go back a few lines before we end. Some of y'all are encouraged now waking up. He said that word end. Before we end, let's back up a minute. There are many, many in this building. I'm just guessing. I know there are many outside this building, but I'm guessing there are some in this building as well that are hung at forgiving other people. That line in that prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. It means that you and I are to recognize that God cannot renew those who stubbornly cling to grudges because you got that grudge. There have been things happening in my life, I'm not talking about it all the time. There have been things happening in our life, life of the church that we just can't get over. Oh, now y'all looking at me all spiritual like it ain't happened to you. There are days that I wish I didn't think about things that happened. There are days that I wish I didn't think about a person or people or this or that I have refused to let go of. Would you pray for me that God will show me, he's already shown me, I just want you to pray for me, that how to let go of those things? Because I think the Bible's very clear that you and I are to forgive one another if we expect God to forgive us. If we recognize the grace of God in our lives, it's more that we recognize the grace that we can give someone. And sometimes that's a difficult task. Now, to forgive someone is to care more about the person than what they've done. Is forgiveness your word? So now that first part was okay, preacher, I want to be forgiven, but wait a minute, is forgiveness your word? To forgive somebody means that I demonstrate the same grace and mercy that God has given me. There is, in fact, an illustration that I think illustrates this scripture, this idea of being forgiven and forgiving. I think it demonstrates, if forgiveness is your word, how to get past that. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? I'm gonna just tell it to you. It's in Luke. Don't go digging around trying to find it right now. Just let me listen to me for a minute. This younger son gets a wild idea that he's grown. You ever done that? Probably some of these guys on the stage a few minutes ago might get that idea. I caution you guys. Hold on. This younger son had decided that he had the world by the tail. And if he had his daddy's money, if he had what was coming to him, if his daddy would just die, then he'd go live the way he wanted to. I like the King James word. It says that he took all things that he had coming to him that he would inherit from his father, and he went away, and he lived in Houston. No, he lived righteously, the King James says. You know what righteously means? Do you? I don't need to define it for you, do you? You know what righteous living looks like. So here's this young boy, takes everything his daddy has, and he has coming to him. His daddy dies, but he gets it early. And the King James says he squandered. You know what squandered is? You just throw it away. So he squandered everything that he would have received had he waited his time, that his daddy would have given when he died. And this Jewish boy winds up eating supper with the pigs. That's big for a Jewish boy. He's eating supper with the pigs. And as he is eating, he's eating the scraps after the pigs have eaten. You know what pig scrap looks like? You know what it smells like? So he's eating just what's left. I had this picture of this guy's kind of just picking up the cobs of the corn and just getting a little taste of what the corn might be. And I love the Bible. It says he came to his senses. And the senses that he came to is what's really neat. You know the story. He's in that pig pen. He stinks. He's nasty. He's dirty. He ain't had a bath in God knows when. He hadn't had a good meal. He's been eating out with the refuse of the hogs. I'd have done got me a hog and ate that hog by now. But there he is, nasty, stinking, in the worst possible place you can imagine. And bing, light comes on. And he said, man, the folks that work, the slaves, the servants who work for my daddy got it better than this. And so as he thinks through that, he says, you know, I'm going to go home. Well, here's the story. He comes to his senses. He smells some pigs, and he says, man, I'm out of here. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to take my chances. And if you read that story sometimes, as he's going along making his way home, he's rehearsing what he's going to say. Have you ever done that? I had a car that got drunk and had a wreck, and I was trying to get home to tell my daddy the story. And I rehearsed that story time and time and time again before I got there. And when I pulled into the driveway here in Huntsville, I was grown. I was 16. And I'd been across the river bridge. And as I pulled into the driveway, my story was diluted by red lights. I'm talking about the old Barney Fife kind, too. I'm not talking about them things, you know, light up the neighborhood. There's these two cherries spinning around behind me. And I figured the best thing I could do was either die or pass out. And since I didn't want to commit suicide, I just passed out for convenience sake. Because the story I had rehearsed wasn't going to work. It was done away with by those lights and Paul Bruno. So this boy is on his way home to the father. And he said, when I get there, I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say I was wrong, and I'm tired, and I want to be forgiven. You see him? He's heading up that road. He's still not washed up and cleaned up. He just got up out of the pig pen and came home. Let me tell you something. That's how God wants you, just like you are. You don't have to clean yourself. Just come on. God will do the cleaning. Here's this boy. He's headed home. He's been gone. He's lived riotously. He's lived in ways his daddy did not like. But he comes and says, the only way home, he's rehearsing. He's rehearsing what he's going to say when he gets there. He's ready. He turns the corner. And he can see the driveway. Boy's heart's pounding. He's not sure what's going to happen. He's decided that whatever happens, he's going to fall at his daddy's feet. And so as he makes his way up that road where he lives on, he sees something, someone, there's an object at the driveway. It's my imagination again. And the closer he gets, he realizes it's his daddy. And it turns out the old man had taken up a post every day since the boy left, waiting, thinking he'll come home. Can you see that old man? Weeks, months, perhaps years into the journey. Still going out there every day, everybody making fun of him for waiting for this son that's errant and gone and out there, waiting just to forgive him, waiting to just say, son, you are my son and I welcome you. Can you see him every day, the disappointment? He didn't come today. Well, this day changed everything. That boy sees the old man sitting out there at the end of the driveway. And he just runs to him. I want to think that, and again, here's my vivid imagination. I can't help myself. I want to think that this boy thinks, boy, if I can get to him first and get out of reach, I can get down below him. At least he won't smack me when I get there. But something funny happens. Old man's looking down the road too. It's my boy. It's my son. And he takes off running toward him. Now, this boy's scared to death. He said, man, he may have a dagger. There ain't no telling what he's going to do to me the way I've been living. And when he gets there, he immediately falls to the ground, as I said, and he thinks, man, I'm out of reach. And that daddy reaches down and picks him up and embraces him. And he hollers as he does, and he screams, hallelujah. My son who was lost is now found. My son who was gone is now home. And instead of beating him and chastising him as he's rejoicing that his son is home, he says, hey, get that fatted calf. Get him ready. We're going to have a celebration. My son is home. And he forgave his son for everything that had happened in his life. That's what God wants to do. Forgiveness, it's a big word. The Bible says that in that story that this boy arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. Ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Father said, you're worthy. You are my son. Forgiveness. Mine, God forgive me. And the forgiveness I can extend. Words that kind of hang us up. I wonder how many folks have been hanging on to stuff for a long time. Can I tell you one more story and I'll quit? There was a preacher who was preaching back in the days before motorized vehicles. We didn't need Clint Mack and John Surtur and folks have been calling visits car sales. We had buggies and wagons, they did. And this old preacher was kind of had an old buggy, just not a real fancy carriage, just a buggy. And he'd get on this in this buggy and sit down, the horse all hitched up, and he just, boy, that horse would take off. And he'd never slow down until he got to the church where the preacher was going to preach. Well, one Sunday he did, the horse took him to the church. He got out, tied the horse to a rail there in front of the church, went in and preached a sermon. Service was over. My truck's parked out here. I appreciate y'all leaving it alone. Service is over. The old man goes back and gets in the buggy. He's untied the horse. He's ready to go. And the horse is just kind of stumbling. And he can't seem to pull the buggy that he pulled in there. And the old man stops and he gets out and there's a load of rocks that somehow, mysteriously, have been placed in his buggy. He unloaded them one by one. Took him better than an hour, hour and a half. Got back in and went home. 20 years down the road. He's sitting at his house, older now. There's a knock. He goes to the door and there's three grown middle-aged men standing at his door. And one of them said, preacher, you remember that Sunday when you preached and you got ready to leave and there were a load of rocks in the back of your buggy? He said, me and John and Fred, we did that. Preacher kind of laughed at him for a minute. And he said, boys, you been carrying that around with you all these years? He said, I unloaded them rocks 20 years ago. Never bothered me again. What would happen in our lives if we unloaded the rocks? If we just said, Lord, I'm going to cast all my care. Forgiveness, Lord, I want that word in my life. I want to be forgiven. I want to forgive those around me. Lord, I'm going to unload the rocks. I'm going to be the prodigal. I'm going to get up and go home to my Father. Forgiveness. It's one that sticks in the craw of people. Get over your sin, give it to God, get over yourself, and let God change you. Father, I love you. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for teaching me. Father, I thank you for bringing things to my mind that in the last few days I've cast before you. Father, thank you for forgiveness. And God, I pray for myself, and I pray others will join me in this prayer for themselves. God, that you'll point out to me the things in my life that I need to unload, that I need to get past, that I need to get over. And allow you, God, to show me how to forgive. And allow me, God, to cleanse myself of those things in my life that hinder and prevent. Father, I pray today there's one person in this building today lost and without you. Need to come and pray that initial prayer of forgiveness. God, forgive me and save my soul. I pray that come. Lord, 1, 2, 20, 100, 200, God, whatever, that might take the words that have been spoken here today, Lord, and let them move in their heart and bring them to this altar. They might spend some time in prayer, God. At this moment, right now is what we have, God. Lord, maybe some you've said, come be a part of this church, and they need to do that today, God. Maybe some that need to make that public profession of faith. Maybe some need to make arrangements to follow in believer's baptism. God, whatever the need, would you move in this place? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we stand?